Okay, so thank you again for this opportunity to talk about Matomo. I love Matomo, I love free software in general, and this talk is about hardening Matomo in terms of security, and this is not really oriented to super experienced users. This is more oriented for from curious persons and to beginners, and but there are some things that can be discussed together with experienced people. And I'm here from the Italian Linux Society, that is an association in Italy, a volunteer association talking about free software and open source software. And in Italy is very interesting this period, because everything everywhere is talking about Google Analytics and Matomo, and I will talk later the reasons. And I'm also an IT consultant for Wikimedia Switzerland and a volunteer sysadmin for the Italian chapter, the Wikimedia Italian chapter. And let's say something, that I'm not an investor in Matomo. I'm not someone who train users about Matomo. I am just a volunteer spreading Matomo everywhere, and because I like what I like this tool. I like the problem it fixes, and I like data ownership, and I like it's free software and open source software. And so I'm here from Italy because some months ago, the Italian Data Protection Authority said this interesting news that Google Analytics is now banned in the whole nation. And this is really interesting, because it really means what I said. It's not something related only to public websites, is like public administrations, like schools or etc. It's about also private websites, and in fact, the whole story was about that even the IP address is considered an personal data. And so if you have a website with Google Analytics and the user visits the website, and you send the IP of your visitors to Google Analytics because you have embedded this tool, it's not a very good idea, because Google is capable of enrich this data and connect the IP to their logged in user, and so this is really a violation of the GDPR in Italy and also in other nations. And I'm telling this because it's also something related to security, because you know that in the United States, the intelligence agencies and the government, if they want to investigate on a user, they can access the data. And if you are an European visitor and you do not live in the United States, it does not matter. And so this is why there are not enough safeguards at the moment. And so a lot of people in Italy is talking about Google Analytics. This is just talk about something I have seen with my eyes in the last months. And good job, Google Analytics. And so let's talk about security. There are two ways. Okay, one moment. In this period, everyone in Italy is avoiding to embed anything, so they are also closing YouTube videos, and they are adopting a lot of open source, and they are also migrating to Libre.js. I don't know if you know the Libre.js project, but it's something that says that every single JavaScript lines on your website should be open and Libre software. And so I'm not saying that everybody in the world should adopt Libre.js, I'm saying that this is the moment to talk about this opportunity, because it's very hot this period. So okay, we like Matomo. We deploy Matomo on our servers. We deploy Matomo on our Raspberry PIs. We deploy Matomo using Docker, using a cheap hosting services, using I don't know, we host Matomo in a lot of ways, and it's very hard for some people, for also for beginners, but also for intermediate people, to understand that there are only two ways to make a system safe. And the first way is the Kirchhoff principle, that is really, really, really okay for open source software, because you, if you have an open source software, you have to think about it. Everyone in the world knows how your system is designed, and you have to keep your password secret, and only the password is the stuff that you can have to keep secret. And so the other principle is have everything simple and stupid, because if you don't understand how you are applying security measures to your system, you will never be able to have a well-designed environment and a safe environment. So I just suggest these two principles, the Kirchhoff and the KISS principles. Let's start saying that the easiest way to keep a system safe is to apply a lot of mitigation to reduce the attack surface, because when you have a big environment like a MediaWiki, like a WordPress, like a Matomo, there are a lot of lines of source code that you have to trust. And I'm not saying that I don't trust Matomo. I'm just saying that it's a very big project and that shit happens. And so maybe a contributor have done something wrong in the very early phases. Maybe what I mean is that there are a lot of possibilities that one line in this number of PHP lines, or one line in this number of JavaScript lines, that there are a lot of lines of source code. Maybe there is a vulnerability, and so it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when this problem will be discovered. And this is not related to Matomo, this is related to whatever project we can design in our life. An interesting part of Matomo is that the plugin directory involves maybe the majority of the of the line of codes, maybe because Matomo is very well decentralized in terms of its design. So each component has its own plugin, and I really like this fact. And the first thing that we can suggest to reduce the attack surface of your Matomo is just reply to this question. So how many plugins have you in your installation? And if you have your Matomo, you know that you can go to the system menu and to the plugins and see the active plugins that maybe this is not a recent screenshot. This is my platform some days ago, but I think that there are a lot of plugins that maybe you are not using just from the screenshot. Maybe I don't know if I can highlight the DB stats plugin that allows to do reports for super users. So it's not something delivered to users, it's something for super users. A lot of people, honestly, I don't use this plugin. So I'm not saying to disable this plugin. To disable a plugin, by the way, you can click on the link on the left and to activate the other link. But I'm saying, if you are not using the e-commerce plugin, the example API plugin, if because maybe you have just a blog, maybe you don't need to see examples. Every plugin you disable, you are reducing the surface attack of your platform. And this is really, really good, because whenever you want, you can enable these plugins again. So it's not a problem of destroying your platform. You can, whenever you want, enable it again. And so also the marketplace. The marketplace is maybe a very big plugin and with connections to the web. And so there are a lot of code that needs sanitization, that needs filters, etc. And so I suggest when you install something from the marketplace, to disable the marketplace, why not? And also maybe not all the people have an SMS gateway on their Matomo. So I just suggest to disable the SMS gateway. So I think this is just an overview of something that you can do. This is a list of a lot of plugins that I have not in production, and I may recommend to verify that you use them as well. And also, let's talk about maybe the two-factor authentication. The two-factor authentication is really an I really like the way it was implemented, and I recommend enabling it if you need it. But if you are not using it, feel free to disable it, because, by the way, you can always enable it in the future. But it's not strange to listen someone saying that the two-factor authentication may be disabled in this kind of talk. I mean that sometimes it's not a very, very, very good idea to enforce this kind of tools. Enforcing tools like multi-factor authentication in whatever tool may be counterproductive, maybe problematic, because maybe not all your users are trained to handle the two-factor authentication side effects. For example, they need to have a mobile phone, and their mobile phone, they have an application, and their application must be must not be malware. And so there are a lot of components that a two-factor authentication can worsen, a lot of facts that cannot improve. And so, for example, what about a lot of social media managers that don't know anything about advanced security measures? And so maybe they just need to have a very strong password, and without risking to expose their mobile phone to additional vulnerabilities. So do your evaluations. Maybe don't try to enforce the tool to every user in the world. Just try to have rigid password politics, very strong password, etc. And again, do your evaluations. By the way, if you want to try the best, I think that for me it's the best one-time password application that I use with my Matomo installation. I think I have a very old Matomo installation, but I think that it still works. Just contact me if it's not. The free OTP is application from F-Droid. You know F-Droid, it's a repository for Android smartphone that only contains free software, and it's very, very, very verified. It's open source. And this application is easy to use, and so I recommend this software. And if you have a lot of users, and if you are enforcing them to use free OTP, I recommend in doing it only if they have an Android, and if they have not customized a lot the phone, if they have maybe disabled the Play Store or this kind of stuff. So a lot of people ask, what if my Matomo is compromised? This is not a good question. This is a terrible question. But I can think a very simple way you can mitigate the risks after your Matomo was compromised is to enable this option to anonymize as much as possible all the IP addresses of your users. Because when you activate this option, you know that Matomo does not save this information in the database. And this is awesome. Matomo does not save this information. And so if your database is hacked, it does not contain this information, and there is less data to be disclosed to the entire universe. So this may seem stupid, but this is not stupid. So we are here to understand when we are downloading Matomo on our server, we want to understand what should be exposed, what should be maybe writable, what should be maybe hidden. And so So I recommend in don't trusting this talk, but just reading the amazing official documentation of Matomo. I think that 1 hour in reading the Matomo's documentation can save your company. So please read the documentation. But well, in short, we know that when we download Matomo, whatever version, we know to understand each file, what should be its user, what should be its permissions, who should see this file, who should execute this file. This is a very important question for a system administrator. And so, but before talking about permissions, we need to understand how we are using Matomo. A lot of people is adopting Matomo through this method that it's the PHP FPM method. And a lot of people without knowing about it is adopting Matomo with this component that it's the mod PHP mode. So we have two methods. We have two very different methods to adopt Matomo. We have also Docker machines, obviously, but these are probably the most adopted situations. I have done an interview about it, a survey, and they are very widely known. A word about the PHP FPM method, how to understand that you are using this method. You can see that you are using this method if when you do one request to your web server, on these ports, there are not Matomo, but something else. And your Matomo is under another web server running on your machine, but on a different port. This is probably, if you have this situation, you are under the PHP FPM configuration. Instead, if you have just a web server and nothing else, probably you are under this configuration, the mod PHP. So let's see. Deeply the mod PHP. The mod PHP version is an interesting and historically very, very widely adopted configuration because it's very, very simple to install on your Linux server. You just run apt install Apache PHP and everything works. And so you have a very big process under your Unix machine, under your Linux. And usually the Unix user is www.data. This is the name of the Unix user, because you know that in Linux every system have its own user dedicated to that system. So you have a web server daemon with its user, you have a mail server daemon with its user. And this is how it works. You have one Unix user running the whole web server, listening on port, maybe this port or maybe the HTTP port, I don't know, but there is a very big process handling whatever website you have in your single server. So maybe you have 1, 2, 3 applications, 2 domains, server by the same server, and only one Unix user handling every request. And this is not optimal for most situations, because if you have an application, then a Matomo, then a WordPress over the same process, over the same Unix user, what if maybe this application is compromised? This is problematic because maybe this problematic application can go in the parent directory and go up and inspect other applications, and so can expand and write other stuff in other places. And so it's not usually a good idea. There are a lot of very cheap hosting services offering this as default, and you users usually don't know about it. A lot of users adopting this system do this together with this directive. What is this? The open base this directive. If you have PHP, running on a domain server on your server, you can say, okay, if you visit example.org, you can only visit this place. And you can, if you visit example.net, you can only visit this place. And the process cannot go in the other places. And this is possible thanks to this directive that can be set in PHP on each virtual server, in virtual host. So, but the problem is that this directive is that if you use it, for example, if you declare, okay, I declare OpenBSD is var www home matomo, I don't know, a place on your file system, then you have another web server, another virtual host, and you say another value. So you can set a different value for each virtual host to try to isolate the process. The problem is that PHP is isolating the process. And in fact, this is an Apache configuration. It is a very frequent configuration. So you have a server name, and so all the people from this domain go to this place. And then you say, you declare this directive to isolate the process, and so you know that you cannot go out of this place. And but this is not really, really safe, because if you read the documentation, it's very, very clear that OpenBSD, it's not a security measure, it's an extra safety. I don't know what the next safety is, but the universe is adopting this as a security measure, and they should stop. And so if you see a configuration like that, stop adopting this, because it's not really safe. And so let's talk about the PHP FPM method. This is a very, very frequent alternative to the mod PHP. So this is the old configuration. This is the new configuration. Was invented to have isolated processes that work alongside a front-end web server. So you really have a front-end web server serving maybe static files, and then you have an underlying web server serving dynamic files with its own Unix user, and so it can be isolated, and it runs on its dedicated port. It's it's completely separated. Now you can say, okay, I have a Docker, my configuration is different, but it's not so different, because if you have Docker, also with Docker, you have a front-end web server that usually is Nginx or Apache, and then you have your Docker running on the random port. But what I'm saying is that usually Docker is not in this position. Usually Docker is not exposed to handle every request for HTTPS and every request for HTTP. Usually you have a front-end web server, also because it simplifies let's encrypt renewal, I don't know, or it allows to have a lot of websites in your server and mixed by the Apache web server. So what I'm saying is that this is a very frequent situation, and how to secure this situation. Let's talk about how it works. So you have a front-end web server, you do a request, and your front-end web server handle it. What is your front-end web server? We said it, it's Apache or Nginx, it does not matter. One or the other does not matter in this discourse. This talk, what I'm saying, that if you visit example.org, maybe example.org, your request go directly to the correct PHP FPM web server. Maybe if you want, a Matomo, you visit this backend web server, and the reply goes to the user. And if you want your blog, maybe you have a blog, your request go to the other web server. And so every site have its dedicated port, and the user usually don't connect directly to this port. So this is the situation. Every application, of course, has its dedicated file system path name. And the interesting part is that we are not in a situation where we have a big user with access to all these file systems, but instead we have a dedicated user with access to that specific file system place. And so we have another user, we have access to the other file system place, et cetera, et cetera. So, and this is allows a lot of isolation, if you know how to do it. And that's also, you still have a Unix user, and you still need to know that this user probably needed to access this file system, but just for static files, for example. And then you have another Unix user that must have access to this file system for the dynamic files. So PHP files are executed by this user, and static files are provided by the www data user. So this is how it works. And this is a basic example on how to implement everything on your web server. Maybe you have the front-end web server Apache configured in this way to say that there is a document root somewhere. And then I have not put it there, but you can imagine that in the next lines, we have the proxy, proxying all the requests on the underlying web server. And this is the most important part of our talk, how to have a PHP FPM safe, secure, and hardened. First of all, you have to create a dedicated user for your purpose, and be sure that only that user can access critical places in that file system of your application. So you can declare a PHP directive to say that the uploaded files must be in a place, and only this user can be assigned to this place to access the temporary resources, or I don't know, or, but if you additionally want to set other strange directive to harden even more, why not? This is a good strategy to use OpenBSDir in a right way. So using to give something more, to have everything under a cage, an additional cage, but this is not the only cage of your system. This is the cage of your system, a dedicated user and a dedicated file system path name with correct permissions. So for example, on your file system, you have your Matomo installed in this position, deployed in this position, and you have the temporary directive, that is this one, and its permissions are its user, it's the one in your FPM web server, and its group, it's the one assigned to the same process. And look about this permission field. If you know how to read this field, it means that, let's clear everything. Okay, what I'm highlighting here is that this Apache Matomo is the user who can read, write, and execute this in this file. So execute in a directory context means that they can access this file. And the user group as well can do the same things, but all the others cannot. So you have hardened your installation, removing privileges on critical path names. This is very, very important. And so again, use your configuration to dedicate a user and have a path name, declare your configurations in order to instruct the process to use your custom path names instead of just TMP, that it's global. And so this is simple but effective. So if you are curious about how to put everything in a very, very robust cage, I suggest to just assign everything to the root user and to the root group. This is not scaring. Sometimes we hear, oh my God, the root user should not execute this file. Don't be confused. If a file is owned by the root user, it means that only the root user can read, write, and execute. And if this file is owned by the root group, so you know that user group, it means that only the group can read this file, and all the others for this markdown file can read this file. Why not? But cannot write in any way. Also, an interesting part, take for example the matomo.js. The matomo.js file needs write access. So you can assign it to the dedicated user and to the dedicated group, and saying that the dedicated user can read and write, but every other user in your system cannot touch that file. And this is very important. This file is not secret. There is no need to remove the read access, the last read access. So it's always evaluate the last column, that it's the most important one, declaring what other users in your system can do with this file. And so, for example, I have removed you see that the temporary directive has nothing in the, I've not highlighted it correctly, but has nothing in the last permissions. So the temp directory can only be wrote by the Apache user and to the Apache group. So this is what I'm saying. Evaluate your application, understand what need read access. So probably everything need read access, you know. What need write access? So for these files, you assign the dedicated user. What need to be hided to everybody but your users? And so you do the same, but without the order field, without allowing other users to read, write, and execute. I don't know what I'm showing here. Okay, what I want to say is that this is not easy. This is not easy. You have to read the documentation. You have to understand that the config directory may be public, but the files inside the config directory have to be private. So inspect your application, read the official documentation, use the change modality for the files, and use the change owner for the files wisely. So this is really how your application can be hardened in the great way. Because the nice part about having some files owned by root is that it's like whatever other service in your Linux system is designed, try to access other parts of your system. If any other process, for example, if you install, Apache, for example, Apache, every file, the system file of Apache is owned by root, and only the system, the super administrator can edit this file. And this is the same for your Matomo installation. So you should have a script to harden your installation when you want is freezed. So you want is like in a not upgradable state, and a script allowing to put everything under the user of your web server to be able to upgrade your system. So you should have two configurations, two scripts, and one for everyday usage, for production. So you run the script and set your permissions in this way. And another script that put your permissions like in whatever cheap hosting environment. And so with every file assigned to the web server users. But this is problematic because having every file under the same user means that if there is a security issue in your application, this user can write in every file of your environment, and this is not the desired situation. So it can be a stupid, but trust me, if take care about your applications, Matomo included, WordPress included, and if you want to have everything in a good state, I recommend in having a kind of hardened production configuration and upgrade ready configuration. So I'm ready for talking about other stuff, but I just recommend in subscribing to CVE newsletters, because it's very important to be the first in the universe when something really bad happens in the code base. Maybe there is a problem affecting people without authentication, and it does not require many complexity to trigger the issue. So I recommend to subscribe the CVE newsletter. I say this because a lot of people don't do this, and this is definitely a problem. Another stupid tip is keep your platform up to date, but if you have the possibility, use the LTS version of Matomo, so you have not to update your software for whatever new feature is introduced, and maybe because you don't have time to test everything, but you want an environment in a safe state where only security patches are updated regularly. And please keep your users trained. So it's not important to enforce two-factor authentication on your wall organic base, because if you don't know how to use it, you will just make bigger mistakes. So train your users, and please keep your devices without malware, because the majority of the vulnerabilities nowadays don't come from Matomo itself. The majority of vulnerabilities come from you. So you, the person who have maybe security issues on your mobile phone, or security issues on your Wi-Fi area, security issues on your laptop. Maybe you installed a video game from a random website, and now your computer is totally compromised. So I'm not saying that it's really, really huge, useful to have a very, very hardened installation if the administrators are have not devices with a controlled state. And so try to use as much as possible open source software. If you have Android user systems, buy an Android dedicated for work, remove the Play Store, remove everything, install FDroid, remove whatever proprietary app, and then you can be safe to use stuff like the OTP applications. And so use as much possible free software. I really have to say, please don't think that you will be not owned, because this is the most problematic assumption. So please assume that you will be owned in the future, and invest in reading documentation, invest in exploring your tool, invest in trying to to hack your system. Try to use not privileged users. Try to be create another Unix user on your system with low privileges, and then try to do a privilege escalation, trying to inspect your web servers and your applications. And this is just these are just buzzwords to remember to try to be the one that can enter in your system before someone else do this for you. This is not good. So thank you so much. My presentation is under the Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike. You can share it for whenever you want, and for whatever purpose. You can sell it, you can do whatever you want. Just please put a credit to at least my nickname, so saying that this presentation is by Valerio. Thank you so much for everything. Can I thank again the Matomo organizers, because Matomo Camp is realized with 100% open source software and libre software, and this is really amazing. And because again, Matomo is open source, Matomo Camp is open source, and this is really a really, really, really good way to engage technical communities that care about their privacy and care about software freedom. So thank you again. Whatever question can be delivered to the Matrix chat, and I hope that we had a good time together.
Valeria, thank you very much for your insightful talk, and you highlighted a lot of important things to consider. And this is also one of my favorite topics, because it is mostly treated very poorly, and even it is a topic which is neglected in many companies. And also, you compressed the topic very well. You talked about many, many details, and also there is so much more, but I think you mentioned very important things. Perhaps we have some questions here. If not right now, there are some questions from my side also, because you are a security expert. So perhaps you can recommend the audience something like, is there something like automated security audits? Is there a software for that to check the software automatically for CVEs or something like that?
Okay, honestly, I know the part related to WordPress more than the part related to Matomo. There are a lot of tools. I think you can search, and there are a lot of tools. I actually cannot recommend any of them because I recommend in being proactive and keeping the platform up to date as soon as possible and without receiving any of this email or notification, and this is probably the best way to keep your system up to date, because usually normal users, when they receive this kind of notification, is too late, because maybe you are in Italy or you are from I don't know, and we are decentralized against the Matomo developers, who can quickly handle the situation and release a security patch and offer you an update quickly on your platform. So I recommend you just update your platform, and please feel free to share some automated tools to inspect maybe not up-to-date platform and this kind of stuff. Thank you, Sophie. Thank you for the question. I'm very curious, and thank you for sharing to me if somebody knows.
Of course. And as a quick comment on that is also for the audience, a very important thing. As soon as an update is out, we mark it, if it has a security concern, we mark it with a minor, major, or critical tag. So you know how important it is to make this update.
And that's wonderful. And are there more questions? Because I'm really curious.
Do we have other questions right now?
Okay.
So, if not right now, then the chat will stay open, and perhaps Valeria has some minutes left to answer more questions, if there are any. But thank you very much for that very, very important topic. And also, this talk will be online as a video on the video platform. And Valeria, thank you again a lot, and greetings to Italy.
Thank you so much. And again, go Matomo, go. Thank you.
Thank you for this. Thank you.
And
goodbye.
Bye bye. Ciao, pane, pizza, Matomo. Ciao.